Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Trusting people, that's a big thing. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Of course, happy Saturday to all of you guys. Of course, in the room today, I got my partner.
Hello.
Hey, Forrest, how are you, buddy?
Good.
Awesome. And also, we've got, wow, Cameron, you are looking a little bit different today.
Oh, you think so?
I think so. Wow. No, we got actually Steve Silva sitting in for Camlin today.
Oh, not that guy.
Yeah, him again.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah. So, and I am Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
Thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun. We recap our past week and enlighten your day with a little laughter.
That's right, laughing at all the things that we experience in everyday life, the embarrassing things, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things that we're afraid to talk about, but damn it, we still do.
Those things that connect us all, that make us human, and as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
That's right. To all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show and join the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Or on Twitter and Instagram at YourWeeklyDose1.
Or say hello to us on Facebook at YourWeeklyDose.
Or email us at YourWeeklyDose1 at gmail.com.
That's right. And we've got a bunch of things going on today. So we're going to have, of course, our catching up. We're going to talk about the Roads to Nationals again and thank somebody important. We got sports with Oz Davis at 10:30. This time, Steve's going to cover what's trending.
Ooh.
And something I want to talk about you guys with is the whole Ed Sheeran thing going on. And then we're gonna dive in into another podcast later on too and see what's going on with them.
Okay.
You know, and check
okay.
that out. Okay. And maybe do a little bit of what's news. So there you go.
Mm. Hey, you can always download past shows for free on our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, check us out on iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose. And while you're there, rate and review the show.
Absolutely. And, of course, today's theme is a matter of trust for National Honesty Day. I thought that was a good pick for that
one.
Yeah. Fan of Billy Joel?
Yeah, I am. I even checked out his musical. They made a musical on Broadway of his songs.
Oh, yes, right. Yeah.
Moving Out?
Something like that.
That's one of his songs, right? I'm Moving Out.
Or Moving On.
Moving On.
Moving On Up.
Moving On Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, good songs, that guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely not a slouch in the songwriting department, though.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure. I wanted to go see his residency in Vegas when he had it, because he would fill in for Elton John, too.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah.
I think we were kind of talking about that.
I saw him at one of those, events, those charity events, where they had, 10 big artists, and each one comes out and sings, three songs or something.
Right.
So I saw him do a kind of, a mini set as part of this Artist Rights fundraiser that they did, I don't know, a long time ago. But yeah, he came out and played the hits for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good guy.
Great. He's got so many hits also that's so recognizable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but if you go into some of the deeper cuts, sometimes you're going to find a nice gem. You know, one of my favorites that I got introduced to through our friend Gino And I didn't realize it until Gino passed and had it on his list of songs or whatever, was You're My Home. Oh, God, that's such a good song, you know. And I could tell that it's basically about a guy saying to his significant other, no matter where you're at, kind of a thing, you're my home. You know, and I could tell from Gino's kind of a way to let his wife Lisa know that no matter what happens, you're my home.
Oh, nice.
You know, it's just, again, just one of those gems where you kind of go, holy crap, that's a really good song, you know. And but yeah, I've always enjoyed Billy Joel, and his music's been a little bit of an influence on me.
Nice,
you know,
nice,
kind of
yeah.
thing too. So very cool. And anyway, so yeah, Matter of Trust is today's theme song. So, and then guys, as always, if you know, you want to download any of the music that we use here on the show, make sure you go to our main sponsor, which is Amazon. Go ahead and go to our website and click on the Amazon banner, just like that there, you know, and shop to your heart's delight. And that way we get a little bit of cash and everything, because they're going to ask for it, and you're going to tell them to
shut up and take my money.
That way we get paid, and it's simple as that. Right, Steve?
And left.
And left. There you go. Great. Good ad, Steve.
Oh, well.
Good, 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 good ad. Yeah. Nice. Very, very nice, Steve.
I'm right there.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. And wherever you go, that's where you're at.
And there you are.
All right. Well, should we catch up, guys?
Catch up.
All right. Well, since I haven't seen him for a while, we're going to let the old man go first.
I'm not cold. Well, you know.
No, you're bold.
I'm bold.
You're bold.
What about mold?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that mold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mold.
That too.
A lot of mold.
That too. How you been, buddy?
I've been doing really, really good. Been just kind of hanging out with myself, watching movies.
Hey, we don't need to hear about that. That's
oh, you don't want
that's personal.
You don't want that.
Yeah, that's personal. That,
okay, I'll okay. Well, no. In that case, I haven't done much.
Nothing to catch up. He's caught up.
Oh, I've been kind of binge watching. Like
Columbo? Yeah, you done with Columbo?
I'm done with Columbo.
You're done with Columbo, okay.
You know, I said, you are finished with Columbo. Okay. Try again.
Season one.
So I've been watching Love Boat.
Oh. Oh, and of course, our dear friend Jill Whelan's on that.
Yeah. Boy, she was so pretty.
She was cute.
Oh, my goodness. And she did so good in that part. She was just... Mm-hmm. You really believe it? Is that really his daughter? Yeah.
They had a lot of great cameos that I didn't realize. Like Tom Hanks was on there at one point.
Oh, yeah.
And just
yeah.
Any all surprise the, ones you like?
All the great actors. Or
of that time period. That time. Yeah, late 60s, 70s. Yeah. I mean, they were on it.
Boat. Yeah.
The same with Columbo.
Same with Columbo.
Yeah, Columbo yeah. and the Love Boat. Yeah,
It was actors either they were living legends that were kind of on the way out.
Right.
You know, or you were coming up.
Correct, yeah.
Because like even Michael J. Fox was on the Love Boat.
Yeah.
So, and that was before he did Family Ties.
Yeah.
So he was on his way up.
Next, will you watch Hotel? Wasn't there a lot of cameos on Hotel?
And Fantasy Island.
And Fantasy Island.
Fantasy Island. Yeah.
There you go.
The plane. Yeah. Well, until that little guy fell out of the tower.
Thank God
for
that.
Then he was yelling, the pain, the pain. But I've watched a few of those. I like Fantasy Island because I like Ricardo Montalban. Oh,
okay. I got to see them film that live one time.
Uh-huh.
I think it was our second trip to Hawaii, so it was early 80s, 81, 82, I think somewhere in there, and it was when he got married as Mr. Rourke on the show, and they were shooting at, if I remember correctly, it was the Coco Palms Hotel, and because they had like a little river canal, you know, that went through like their garden thing or whatever they have, and all the rooms are around it. So, and they filmed it there, so which was kind of cool. So we got to watch the filming of that.
Nice.
So yeah, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Some of those got dark. It was like, yeah, they had some good stories. Mm. And the Love Boat, I noticed from when it started till the last couple of the years, mm-hmm. It got really sexy.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Like, you're...
I mean, they had, you know, girls in bathing suits and stuff and stuff, but toward the last few years, they were filming in a cabin that people would be in bed naked and, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. you'd see anything,
right,
obviously.
Right.
But still, it was like, yeah, they were, I'm like, wow, they really sexed it up toward the last couple of years.
Well, it is called The Love Boat.
The Love Boat.
That was Aaron Spelling?
Yeah. Yes.
Because I think he even got Tori Spelling on a few of those episodes in some of those montages, like as a kid. I remember seeing a montage recently.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, you know, he's sneaking his daughter into all of his shows, you know,
yeah.
getting her career going.
Until she was, you know, until 90210. Until
90210, yeah.
Yeah, which was his also.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
What I like is on The Love Boat is they threw in some really serious stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They had this one I just watched this week. This single woman and her son came on, and there was a connection between her and the Captain Stubing. And so the kid, her son, and Vicky, the captain's daughter, got together and were pulling. What turns out, he's been stealing drugs, doing drugs and stuff. And Vicky doesn't know it's happening. And then he ends up, you know, he tells her it's just vitamins. And so he gives her one. And she gets all, whoa. And she's not sure after that what's going on. Because wait, that's not. And he ends up planting the pills that had been stolen out of Doc's cabinet on her, so she took the rap.
Oh.
And it was about...
We'll have to ask Jill about that episode.
So yeah, and then luckily at the end, he finally came in and said, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't let you take the rap for that and everything. And it comes out what he'd been doing. It wasn't just this. He's been doing this. Mm-hmm. He has a problem. So
right, right.
But it was like, you know, kids and drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of...
Especially back then.
Yeah. The 80s had a lot of, like, issue-based episodes.
Just say no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just say no.
Yeah.
Just say mo. Oh,
well, you know, Jill was a part of that whole campaign, the Just Say No.
Just Say No?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, because there's pictures of her and the Reagans, because she, you know, she was that young actress at the time and everything, and we briefly talked about it on the show when she was on. And, you know, but yeah, she was kind of like the ambassadress or whatever for that and everything. So, but I know Jill said she had a great time doing that show. Of course, everybody, all the other actors, especially Gavin, were very, very protective of her.
What I thought was cool was this one episode I watched just this week was the episode of season, I think it was, they went.
Well, in order, one, three, four.
Okay, so it was season 9, first episode, and they started it and they were doing stuff, and then they had the scene. They were all in the captains, and they had champagne, and they did a little tribute to Julie because she had to quit the show because of drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
And they had this really touching, just, you know, here's, they said she suddenly got married and, you know, and stuff like that. And so she was gone.
Oh, God, what's that? Was it Tweed?
So cool.
Tweed? Sharon Tweed? Is that who it was? I think.
I can never remember. I know it. Like,
yeah,
it,
yeah. Back I know Tweed's hand. The last thing because her folks were part of the, I think, the Elks Lodge. That my folks were a part of. And so we got to be friends with them and everything and so forth and what have you. And then it came out.
Sure, the neighbor's dog's groomer's assistant.
No.
Oh,
No, but we actually got to know them, whatever, before they moved. nice try to cover, but no. But they talked about, you know, her drug problem and everything and so forth. And she's been, you know, better since, you know, thankfully. And of course, the cast is always supportive of her. Is it Sharon Tweed?
Julie McCoy was played by Lauren Tweed.
Lauren Tweed.
Lauren Tweed.
Lauren
Tweed.
Tweed.
Tweed. Tweed. Tweed. Tweed. Tweed. Tweed. Tweed. Tweed. Tweed. Lauren Tweed. Tweed. It didn't sound like
Lauren Tweed.
Lauren Tweed.
Lauren Tweed. That's
199 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was such a sweetheart. She really was.
Yeah. I mean, she, you know. Yeah, and she was so pretty on the show, too. So, I mean, she was always that character, the way she was or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
When she had the problem, yeah, they had to do something, though, about it. So, yeah, it is what it is. Anyway, partner, how was your week?
It's a good week. Good week. It was prom week in our house. Woo! And my son went to Friar Tux like I did in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Got fitted. And I guess it's prom season for all the districts. So there was like an hour and a half wait to get fitted. Then wait to go pick up the suit.
Yeah.
They don't do tuxes. They do suits nowadays. And and him and the boys went.
Really? They're not doing tuxes anymore, huh?
I think it's more in fashion with suits from what it seems, although.
Oh, shit. I guess I'll go to just, you know, CNR then.
CNR? You're going to love the way you look?
Yeah, absolutely. Are they even still around?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
The men's warehouse.
I haven't seen a men's warehouse advertisement.
Yeah, yeah. And CNR was a.
That was like before men's warehouse.
What a difference a day makes, I think it was.
Shit, I'm surprised you remember that. Yeah. Slogans.
God, the things you remember. Yeah. And he had a good time.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. I got the all one word answers on how it was. How was it? Good. Did you have fun? Yeah. How was it? Good. So that's the recap. And
nice.
So the week flew by. Good classes with my students and good week.
Good.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
How about yourself?
A little bit busy. We've been working on the Road to Nationals and the whole campaign for that. And, you know, we're just over 6,000 right now. So, and of course, last week we talked about ABC. Coming in and doing a story on it. And now we've got Fox News, local Fox News, which are good people.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of them came from like Channel 9.
Not Tucker.
Or Channel 5. No, Tucker. That's a good Tucker. So they are going to come in, I think, Wednesday for Good Day LA.
Nice.
And come in and do a montage for that. So I think it's Amanda Salas was the one who reached out to me, that I contacted her, she contacted me, and was able to do the whole thing. So thank you, Amanda. I really appreciate that.
Nice.
Very, very nice. So they're going to come in on Wednesday during their fourth period and lunch to go in and do a segment on them and everything.
Nice.
And, you know, Steve and I did this show for 5 years. You and I have been doing it for about a year now.
Yeah.
You never know what kind of impact you're going to have on this show. You don't know that much about what our ratings are, except that we've got 1,000 followers on Facebook. We've got 500 listeners in Indiana, you know, through Lime City Radio, which we very much appreciate. I think we got another 300 or 400 or whatever through Delmarva. And
love them.
Yeah. Thanks. And you never know what's going to happen. And I want to personally thank Brad Jackson, because Brad is a listener of the show and donated nicely to this and mentioned that he heard it on our podcast.
Nice. Thank you, Brad.
So to know that people are listening to the show and it is impacting people, you know, it reaffirms what we're doing here.
It's awesome.
And it's there's times where I wonder, should I stop the show? Should I not? Should I, you know, you know, and I've kind of made that to you a little bit. You know, that makes me keep going.
Nice.
You know, and go, okay, let's keep going. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's, you know. And so, Brad, thank you so much for your donation. I wanted to make it known because it proves that this podcast does have listeners. It does have good people, good humans like yourself, who donated generously to this cause for the kids and everything. And if you guys aren't not too sure what it is, real quick, my son entered a thespian drama festival, and basically he qualifies to go to the national version because he won state finals. A lot of his classmates also won. So it's 25 kids that we're trying to raise money to go to nationals in Bloomington, Indiana. And matter of fact, we were just talking earlier today that we just hired a reporter out in that area that we're probably going to talk to next week.
Yes, about
that, to kind of get us going of what's it like in Bloomington, Indiana? Yeah. What are things to do and what are the national things going to be about and so forth, what have you. So so if you guys want to donate, just go to our Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. And it's pinned at the very top. You can see what Channel 7's done, so you get a little bit more information on that. And there's also, I think I put in the link, obviously, to donate. And it's to get these kids. We need to raise about $50,000. So we're already $6,000 over, so which is great. So
that's great.
I'm just so jazzed. So, again, Brad Jackson, thank you so much for listening to this program. And thank you for your generous donation. We really, really appreciate that overall. So, yeah, so that was my week.
Nice.
In essence. And then also basically working on the website for my music stuff and everything. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty much it, really.
Cool.
So excited. So excited with that. Well, you know what time it is, guys.
What time is it?
I think
it's howdy doody time. It's howdy doody. No,
let me refresh your memory.
That's what I think of when. What time is it?
No.
You'll binge watch that next. After the Love Boat. Lots of drugs. Lots of drugs on that show.
Of course, that means it's sports with Os Davis.
Woo!
Hey, Os, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm okay. It was interesting that you guys were talking about Love Boat and Fantasy Island. I was just thinking about this the other day. You know, because there's that convention that you do at the beginning of both of those shows where they're just standing there watching the people come in and they're giving their bios. Right. And I was
just thinking,
what kind of form do you have to fill out just to go on this cruise? what do you have to interview to go on Fantasy Island? I mean, is it just giving the summary?
I think for Fantasy Island, you do, because they want to know what kind of fantasy you're going to have. You know, but
yeah, I guess. Yeah.
You know, but Love Boat, you know, yeah, that's a little like, yeah.
Thorough.
Very thorough.
Yeah, how do we know all these things?
Yeah, the Love Boat was like Tinder in the 70s, I think. That's my theory. Like, everybody's just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Let's get real. We know what this is about.
So basically what you're saying is, if you walked around the boat to the left, you were swiping left. If you walked around the boat to the right, then you were hooking up. I like it.
Absolutely. The doctor was always open.
There you go.
God,
all
that
right.
guy.
All righty, Oz.
What a perv.
Well, let's go ahead and get to sports, buddy, because I know we got...
Okay. Oh, yeah. So, a lot going on in sports. Like, basically, all four of the major, you know, North American sports leagues have something to talk about right now. And I just wanted to get this out of the way first, because I don't want to take up all the time glorying about the Lakers.
Lakers!
Steve, how about these Lakers?
Oh, my God, what a game. What a team.
Seriously, speaking from the local angle, I mean, this is honestly, as a basketball fan, this is the most fun when you really had the peak Kobe and Shaq. And these guys were unstoppable. This team right now is so much fun and so good. And Anthony Davis, for all of the complaining that folks have done about him in recent years, has just been insane. I mean, I've got the stats here. Okay, so in this past series against Memphis, who was the number two seed going into the playoffs, he averaged 20.8 points per game, 13.7 rebounds per game, 4.5 blocks per game. And the real key statistic is this: against the Grizzlies, when he was not on the floor, the Grizzlies averaged 65% shooting. Okay.
Wow.
When Shaquille O'Neal was in the league and everything he had to do was just grab the ball and dunk it, okay, he averaged at peak 61% shooting. Okay, that's how good Davis is. I mean, he shut these guys down single-handedly. Plus, on the other hand, we've got all these new guys. We've got Rui Hachimura, who came to us from Washington, where nobody had seen him play in 5 years because nobody cares about the Washington Wizards. You know, we've got our boy AR-15 out there, Austin Reeves, just completely deadly from 3 points. Just really such a fun team. And the nice thing about this from the Lakers' perspective is there are long stretches where LeBron James hardly has to break a sweat.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you want when he's 38 years old and can still do magic things, but only for about 5 minutes at a time. You know? Fantastic. Yeah. Just really a wonderful team. So go Lakers. We'll have enough with that. But wow. I mean, if you have not been watching these basketball playoffs and you like sports at all, you should be tuning in. We've had some fantastic playoffs. We've got some really interesting things happening. Game 7 between the Sacramento Kings, the miracle team, the team that hasn't been in the playoffs since like 2005, 2006, thereabouts, taking on the defending champion, Golden State Warriors, and now they're in Game 7 to be played this weekend after we record this, but before the podcast comes out. So have a look out for that. About the only thing that's topping, in my estimation, the NBA playoffs is the NHL playoffs, the hockey playoffs.
Oh, my God. Boy, those are getting exciting just as much as the NBA.
Fascinating stuff going on. In fact, Charles Barkley, during halftime of one of the Denver-Minnesota games, which wasn't a very good basketball series, was telling people to go switch their channels and watch the Stanley Cup playoffs because – man, we've got some good things going on. Okay, so here are, I'm just going to run this down real quick because every one of these series has a fun story going on. Okay, so here's the Boston Bruins, who were the super team all year. You know, they were getting all-time great comparisons. They're playing the Florida Panthers. They're at 3-3. The Bruins are actually considering switching out their goalie, Linus Ullmark, that's right, Linus Ullmark, who had started for them all season, but in Game 6, the Bruins lost 7-5. It's not too often you score 5 goals and lose by 2 in hockey in the playoffs. Mm. So, Bruins up against the wall here. You have Toronto versus Tampa Bay. This is the all-time Sad Sack franchise. And before I knew Steve was coming on, I was ready to say that the Maple Leafs have not won a Stanley Cup in our lifetime. But they have won a Stanley Cup in Steve's lifetime, 1967.
Oh, they, just the barely.
the beloved Toronto Maple Leafs, right? And now they're at 3-3. With the Tampa Bay Lightning, who is two-time champion. They've been in the last 3 Stanley Cups, 3-3. Okay. We've got the Devils and the Rangers. The New Jersey Generals, the New Jersey Devils versus the New York Rangers. And who cares? It's Jersey versus New York. 3-3. We don't need to know anything else. The defending champion, Colorado Avalanche, are taking on who? The Seattle Kraken. In the playoffs in only their second year, series is 3-3.
I'm sorry, did you say the Seattle Kraken?
Kraken, release the Kraken.
Really?
That sounded like he had something to do with
show.
What, Cracker?
A couple of years ago.
Oh, crapping. Yeah. Oh, okay.
The Kraken.
I was just too sure he said, I thought he said Kraken. But it almost sounds like cracker. But you thought he said crappin'.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, the crackers, actually.
The Seattle crappin'.
Yeah. Yeah. So that series is 3-3. And then finally we have the big one. The big one, especially for here, has been Edmonton Oilers versus Los Angeles Kings. Wow. Now, okay. Wayne Gretzky was a long time ago.
Yeah, he was.
Edmonton remembers, okay? Canadians remember. The Oilers really, really want this series. And what's really nice about this is because they're playing the big market Kings, you know, it's getting a lot of exposure for really two of the top players in the game, which are Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, which people are finally learning how to say his name. For the past couple of years, he's been Draisaitl. he's not a cowboy. He's a German. So
he walks like a cowboy.
Seidel,
wrong title.
would be better. So, and that series is 3-2. They're a bit behind, but they're playing today. Saturday. So, wow, lots of great stuff going on in hockey. Do I have any more time?
Yeah, we got about maybe 5 minutes. I want to talk real quick, though, and I don't know how much you've been covering it, though, because I know my wife loves the movie and loves it even in real life now, which is Draft Day.
Oh, my God.
So the NFL draft picks, how have those been looking?
Okay. Well, okay, so we're actually in the midst of Draft Day, quote unquote. Draft Day now takes about 4 days. It goes all weekend.
Right, right.
But, of course, what everybody really has their eyes on is the first round. And, of course, if you're a Rams fan, you're looking at the second round because we never have a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Always manage to trade away our first-round picks. However, yeah, there's a few things to talk about here. The big moves, of course, were all about Houston Texans, who traded up to number 3 to get linebacker Will Anderson. Now, this is a heck of a play because this is a guy who was expected to go in the middle of the round, but best linebacker in the draft. So clearly, Houston said, we see our man. We're going to get him. Love Draft Day trades. So much, it makes it so much fun. The intriguing pick is probably Anthony Richardson. Now, he's a quarterback out of Florida. He went at number 4 to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Okay? This dude is a bit rough. Doesn't have the arm strength, throws a lot of interceptions, makes some bad decisions, but damn, he's fast, he's exciting, and he's completely in the mold of the sort of running, passing quarterbacks that we're seeing.
Like a Cam Newton kind of guy?
Yes, yes, he's all along that. Cam Newton all the way through to, our quarterbacks today.
But hopefully not a
run-pass option. Lamar Jackson being the ultimate example of this, where you can just build a whole offense around the guy, let him go to work, let him have the ball 75% of the time.
Nice.
He's that kind of player. Now, Indianapolis is a pretty sorry team, so it's kind of rough for him. You know, he's not going to have a lot of support. He's not going to have a lot of weapons out there, but intriguing pick. Mm. For fantasy players, Bijan Robinson, who's a running back from Texas, went to the Atlanta Falcons, who have no offense. Fantasy players, he's a rookie. Take him anyway. Okay, this guy's going to get the ball a lot. He's going to score a lot of touchdowns for Atlanta. Atlanta will probably go 2-15, but Bijan Robinson should be pretty good. Now, I wanted to bring this up because Cowboys fan in the room.
Yeah.
Okay. It's really tough to gauge draft day stuff. I don't know a lot about college football because I'm usually in tune with something else during the college football season, whatever. Okay, but Dallas takes Mazi Smith, a defensive tackle from Michigan. Huge guy, of course, 6'3", 340 pounds. But the thing about this guy is he's one of the fastest. Right now, he would be the fastest defensive lineman in the NFL if he was starting tomorrow. Okay, this guy has the speed of a linebacker. This guy's going to be able to come from defensive tackle and get quarterback sacks in the NFL. Dallas is going to have the scariest defense in the league next year. I'll say that right now. Hmm. Dallas, I know Cowboys fans get all worked up every season. You think you're going to win the Super Bowl, but I don't know. This year, you're going to be in the running.
Is it going to be is it going to be like it was, like what the defensive line was when Troy Aikman was a quarterback when they won the Super Bowl back-to-back? Because those guys were big and huge and scary.
Yeah, that's always – and they destroyed the Buffalo Bills a couple of times.
Two years in a row.
Yeah, they were not big and scary. That was really the difference in those Super Bowls. But, yeah, I mean, that's always what you're hoping for. I mean, those Cowboys were a super team at every position.
Yeah, because those guys were, all over 300 pounds.
Right, right. Now, ever since then, it's been like that. The key now is what you want now is what we have in Los Angeles. You want Aaron Donald, okay? You want that big guy, but he's also got to have the footwork. Right. He's also got to have the speed. Again, it's like quarterback position, right? It's not enough to stand there and do your job anymore on the defensive line, right? They want you penetrating, right? They want you getting to
so
that quarterback.
Wife.
And so here's Mazi. Here's Mazi. He's a great addition to Dallas, who already has some of the best young defensive players in the league already. Great pickup. And just real quick, because I did say it, we're going to talk all four sports. We're going to talk about our guy, Shohei Ohtani.
Mm. Oh, okay? Yeah.
I feel like every time I come on this show, I could say something incredible about Ohtani. But there we go. So on this was on Thursday, the 27th, I have here, against the A's here in Anaheim. Ohtani is the starting pitcher. Doesn't have a great start. Gives up 5 runs in 6 innings, all of them in the 3rd inning.
Yeah.
Just got shelled. Didn't pull him, whatever. Okay. And at the plate, he's a monster. Okay. He's already got a single, a double, and a triple. His first 3 at-bats. Now, so he's going for the cycle, right? And for those who don't know, the cycle is single, double, triple, home run in a game. It doesn't happen that often and is always of note. Right? Okay, so here it is. He's up in the 8th. Angels are now up 8-7, so they come back.
Yay.
Ohtani's up, slams a pitch. It goes 389 feet to center field where the wall is at 390. Catches the ball. Now, if he had hit for the cycle in a game that he had pitched, that would have been the first and only time it's been done since 1888.
Oh, wow. Okay,
again, Ohtani is a monster. Now, of course, whenever statistics like this come up, you automatically think, guys like me automatically think, okay, what about Babe Ruth? Right? Because, you know, Babe was a pitcher. Babe was a monster hitter. So you always think that anything Ohtani does, you've got to look at the record for Babe Ruth. Okay.
This leads
into one of my great trivia questions about baseball. Okay?
Baby something?
Babe Ruth. Sorry?
Baby someone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big bamboo?
Bamboo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Hanks played him in a movie once, I think. So Babe Ruth played in 2,503 games. Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs. How many times did he hit for the cycle?
Never.
The answer is zero.
Wow. Yeah, you're right.
Wow. Zero. Yeah. Never hit did
the,
it.
It had never to have been the triple. It. The triple probably eluded him, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Back in the day, when he first transitioned to hitting only, he was still pretty quick by the standards of the time. And it's pretty funny because if you look at the guy, he's a total freak of nature, right? He's got like beer belly chest, right? Like the beer barrel chest.
Yeah.
And he's got the little popsicle stick legs.
Yeah. Right?
But when he's running, he's actually pretty quick. Mm. I mean, he used to steal some bases back in the early 20s.
He was the first penguin.
Early 20s.
Yeah.
So... never hit for the cycle. Hit a few triples in his career, but just never did it. And
well, that's
so,
because,
you know, again,
that's because he kept standing. That's because he kept standing at home plate and pointing at where he was going to hit the ball. You know, so it's like, we knew. You know, it's like, what the hell? Just surprise us. You know, maybe bunt once in a while. You know, advance the other runners.
Like they did in Major League. You know, point.
Yeah, point.
And then bunt.
And bunt, yeah. You know, freak them out. You know, strategy here. You know.
Jeez, is that what you guys were telling Bonds when he was hitting 72 home runs? Yeah. Quit hitting home runs, man. Bunt.
Well, yeah.
Nobody bunts in baseball anymore.
Yeah. I was sending letters to Bonds. And, dude, hit left-handed.
Well, pretty soon.
Oh, wait, Ohtani, he was left-handed, wasn't he? Hit right-handed.
Pretty soon, Ohtani is going to have to start coming up with new stuff, you know, to keep himself entertained. Because it was hilarious because on this home run, you know, they're interviewing after the game, and he's like, he's being all self-effacing, you know, like a proper Japanese ball player. And he's like, oh, yeah, I knew as soon as I hit it, it was going to be an out. And the reporter's like, why? And he's like, oh, because I could feel it hit off the end of the bat.
That's true. You can. You know, you can feel the difference.
Yeah, and you're supposed to hit it on that big fat part, like right towards the end of the bat, about 5 inches off the end of the bat.
Yeah.
Right? Is that big fat meaty part. That's where you're supposed to hit it. This dude hit it like an inch off the end of the bat and still put it almost 400 feet.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
he's playing a different game at this point.
Well, I mean, when you play the game and you do know the game that well, because. You know, I don't know if I've ever mentioned it to you. Maybe I have, Oz. But my father was in the minor leagues,
right?
And so, you know, and my dad would say, yeah, you can feel the difference of just hitting it versus like where you're lined up perfectly and you know it's going to go out of the park.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. You know, there's just that it's the total momentum of the swing and the connection of the ball. You know when it's a perfect hit. You know, and if that versus, let's say, just a regular base hit, you can feel the difference.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch of examples of this too. There's a great moment in the Ken Burns baseball documentary where they're talking about Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak.
Yeah,
and there's this one game where he's taking it down to the bottom of the ninth, right? And then he finally gets a hit. And you can see it on his face, like from way up where they're shooting. You can see on his face that he knows that his only question now is whether he's going to go for two or not.
Right.
Right? Like, he knows it's a hit already. Like, as soon as it leaves his bat. And you can see it. You know, it's wild. It's wild. There's a great moment. Really worth watching. I love that Ken Burns baseball. I go back to that thing.
Yeah. It's almost kind of like watching Kirk Gibson hit that home run, too.
Oh, Jesus.
You know.
Yeah. Or there's that story in the Ball 4 by Jim Boughton, which I'm actually reading again, which I gave to you.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where Mickey Mantle goes out and has a little too much fun the night before. So he's not even playing the next day. He goes up and he pinch hits. He takes the first pitch and it's like Gibson, right? He just nails it, just like 500 feet. Staggers around the bases, comes back to the dugout and goes, "Those people don't know how difficult that was." It's just like, but he knew as soon as he hit it.
Yeah.
Now he just had to figure out how to get around the bases without falling down.
Yeah, that's just it. I was like, oh shit, now I gotta run.
Exactly. Now I gotta run.
Oh man. Cool deal. Oz, always good to talk. Always good talking to you, brother. Love it. We always appreciate it, too. So thank you so much. And, of course, we'll see you next week because it's the top of the month as well.
Okay, great. Have fun. Go Lakers.
Go Lakers. All right, brother. Take care.
Ciao.
Ciao. Everything. There's so many good things going on in sports right now, man.
A lot.
Just, yeah, which is why I want to have Oz on today. Because, you know, it's odd when you have, because, I mean, normally all of our shows, we do things around, like, you know, we've got four Saturdays in the month. And this one, you go, oh, we got an extra one.
Yeah.
Hey, what do we do now? You know, we bring Oz on a second time. We have him back to back.
So a lot going on.
Yeah, especially when there's a lot of sports going on. Yeah. I don't mind having Oz on, so it's great. Normally this would be Camlin's section.
Camlin, where are you?
Camlin's.
Hello.
So, God. Here we go. Where Camlin, yes, this is going to be interesting. So, here's what's trending with Camlin Jackson.
Featuring Steve.
Hello.
Hi, Mickey. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Well,
sounds like Mickey with a hangover.
Yeah, Mickey Mantle.
This is Cameron.
Mickey Mouse.
And our first.
No, we need Steve. We need Steve for this.
What?
We need Steve.
All right, here we are.
Clear your throat, Steve.
Sorry, yeah, I had a little something.
There you
throat.
Are. Yeah. There you are.
Still sounds like Cameron.
Okay. Of course, this first thing that's trending is. Brings a tear to most people's eyes. The eloquent Jerry Springer has died at 79.
That was a little bit of a shocker. I didn't even know he was that old.
Must be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you.
That's old? Oh. Anyway, the former Cincinnati talk show host, broadcaster, author, politician, journalist, actor, lawyer, and host of a daytime show, so outrageous he once apologized by saying it ruined the culture. Well, he died at 79 in his suburban Chicago home after a brief illness, according to a statement from the family. Wait, see, like,
yeah.
Bill.
Yeah.
This brief illness. And
did you watch the show that much? Or?
No. Try not to. I'd catch every now and then in the afternoon, after school kind of thing.
Yeah. When I wanted to feel better, I would watch it.
Yeah.
And go, hey, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know,
life ain't so bad.
Yeah.
Well, though he had a lot of high-profile jobs.
Oh,
there we go.
That's what he had.
Yeah. Springer was best known as the host of the Jerry Springer Show, which syndicated TV program lasted 27 years.
What? That long?
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. And it was, of course, it was
Missed
provocative.
30 by that much.
sensational topics and confrontations, and I'm sure none of it was scripted. His birth name was Gerald Norman Springer in London, England.
Oh, he's born in London.
I never knew that. He was born in England, in London. He, and ironically, he immigrated to Queens in New York.
Huh.
He was 4 years old with his family, and eventually graduated from Tulane University and Northwest University Law School by the late. He was a lawyer.
Yeah, that I knew. Well, because he went into politics, so I mean,
he was mayor of a big city for a while too.
Cincinnati.
Well, yeah, it was Cincinnati. Yeah, yeah. He practiced law in Cincinnati, eventually getting elected to the city council in 71, and by 74 he had to resign, admitting he'd paid a sex worker by check.
Always carry cash. He used a company checkbook.
Yeah, this is when cash is good.
Right, he was reelected in 75, and in 77 he served for a year as the mayor.
Wow,
very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is an icon, Harry Belafonte.
Mm.
Singer, actor, activist. He died at the age of 96. Ooh. So he wasn't cheated.
Nope.
Singer, actor, and human rights activist Harry Belafonte died Tuesday at the age of 96 of congestive heart failure. He broke racial barriers and balanced his activism with his artistry in ways that made people around the world listen. Belafonte, who got an EGOT holder for his Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Awards, died at his home in New York. This was according to his publicist. Style, class, and charisma. That was Harry Belafonte as a performer. In the 50s, his recordings for RCA Victor set off a craze for calypso music. Shake,
Sinora, makes you think of Beetlejuice.
I love it. Shake,
don't say it two more times, though.
No, I won't.
Okay.
Beetlejuice.
Belafonte was born in Harlem. His parents were from the Caribbean, his mother was Jamaican, and his father was from the island of Martinique. His mother, who was a cleaning lady, took him back to her native Jamaica, where he absorbed the island's culture. Throughout the career, Belafonte received numerous honors for humanitarian work and the arts, and... Something's wrong here. Okay, here we go. This is better.
You're reading it.
Belafonte, yeah. Okay, I'll close my eyes and make it up. Belafonte was a very nice person who lived in Jamaica for a while, and he, yeah. See, I could do it without the script.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Anyway, he received a lot of honors and
good guy.
African famine relief, and he was involved with Do They Know It's Christmas, We Are the World, and all those things. Now, this is odd. BuzzFeed News is shutting down.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, too.
Laying off 180 staffers because it is not able to turn a profit. Well, that didn't stop Uber or other companies. Anyway, this is according to the CEO, Jonah Peretti. And the digital publisher is laying off 15% of its employees, or about 180 people, across BuzzFeed News and other divisions. Going forward, BuzzFeed will concentrate its news efforts in a single profitable news organization, HuffPost, which it acquired from Verizon in 2020.
I read that they were going to turn to AI writers for their articles. Like,
are you kidding me?
That's what I read.
That could be.
Maybe they were considering it, but we're not going to do it. Maybe they changed their mind. But I've seen where some are going to that.
Oh my god!
To save money.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy, but we'll see.
Write an article about this.
Right. Yeah.
The company's flagship BuzzFeed.com will remain in place.
Okay.
Okay, now here's one that you relate to, Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees, to headline Mickey. Abbey Road. Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees will headline Abbey Road on the River this year as it is celebrated from May 25th to the 29th at the Big Four Station Park. This will be the 21st year for the world's largest Beatles-inspired music festival with dozens of Beatles tribute bands and tribute bands of other popular music groups of the 60s and 70s.
Yay. That's cool that Mickey's headlining, though, man.
And here's something. It made me laugh.
I saw it on the news, too.
It made me laugh, and I'm all like, oh, I was going through finding all the videos of it and pictures of it. Well, it's actually, it was Maleficent.
Right.
Anyway, the dragon in the Fantasmic show caught fire and completely burned.
Did you see it?
I saw it. My friend sent me one that works there.
Yep, the animatronic dragon caught fire at the Disneyland Park on Saturday evening during the Fantasmic show.
And I think it was the last show, too.
Yeah, it was the last show on Saturday evening, and the dragon just went up in flames. They said Anaheim Fire and Rescue quickly responded, and the fire was extinguished. Well, if you saw that and watched, it took a while to get that thing out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it burned completely. Now, they added all cast members and guests were evacuated from Tom Sawyer Island, and attractions near the island were cleared of guests due to smoke and wind. So, yeah, everybody made it. They had a little problem with smoke here and there. But
no injuries, though.
Yeah, luckily, it's in a spot during that show where there's not a lot of people next. There isn't anybody next to it.
Yeah.
So,
because if you've ever been or seen it at Disneyland versus in Florida, Florida has an actual stadium for it, where here it's done on Tom Sawyer Island.
Right.
So it's a little bit different, yeah. So they have to get everybody off the island first in order to do that show. So
of course, they don't know what caused the fire. I'm sure it was just something shorted or something burned up or something overworked.
Well, the dragon does spit out fire.
Yeah, it spits out fire. So,
somehow something went wrong there.
Something leaked, somewhere.
Yeah. So
something went wrong.
What a scene.
That's trending with...
That's trending with... Or Bob.
There you go. But yeah, I saw the video too, and boy, it just went up like oof. Anyway, one guy I want to talk to you guys about too, and I wanted to bring in my son about this because he's got actually, believe it or not, a better ear in music than I do, because he's been doing choir his whole life, and of course with being in choir in high school, they train him even a little bit more and everything. So let me get his microphone up. How you doing, Roman?
I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, Roman.
Great. Pretty good.
Hey, Roman. Hey.
So, matter of fact, last week was your last, I think it was, your last competition for choir?
Yeah, last week was the our last competition for our school. So we went down to Oceanside High School. So my group in particular got second place and best music ship, and the group of us is technically that school. They came from Arizona, Valley Vista, Arizona.
Arizona.
And so basically...
they have good iced tea there.
Yes, they do.
Okay. Yeah, they got first place and best showmanship, but the thing is, like, since they're like an advanced group, they wouldn't usually compete against us, so they just got bumped down to the intermediate level. So, technically speaking, we did get first place against all the groups that are normally in our division. So, it was a really good win for us.
Nice. Nice. Very cool. Well, the big thing I want you guys to see what your opinion was, because this seems to be happening more and more now in the music industry. And I want to get my son's take on it, too. Of course, this happened a little bit about 4 years ago, but of course, it's now hitting the news again because of the court trial and everything. But Ed Sheeran is being sued by the Marvin Gaye estate, and actually one of the co-writers of Let's Get It On. Mm. And so this is the second time that the Marvin Gaye estate has gone after somebody.
Yeah.
First time it was Robin Thicke and was it Pharrell?
Blurred Lines.
Yeah, for Blurred Lines, which Okay, let me get you your opinion, Steve, and your opinion first. What did you guys think of that case? Did you think it held water or it was stupid?
After I heard about the case and I listened to the two, I heard the resemblance. But I feel like resemblance is one thing and stealing is like
another.
Like so it being inspired by or being an homage to a song or something, I feel is... but, you know, they went after him and they won, right?
Yeah, which surprised me because... Now that, because see, normally you cannot copyright a chord progression.
Mm.
It's mainly the melody that you're going after. Yeah. Are you using the exact same melody? And to me, Blurred Lines, there was a close resemblance, but you're basing everything off of a cowbell.
And the sort of party atmosphere of like
right.
voices talking or yelling
right.
and stuff. To me, it didn't feel like enough to be a ripoff.
But right. That's how I felt. Steve, how did you feel?
From what I read about it was that this is a gray area that I think is kind of crazy, is because it wasn't like he took like a stanza or a line, you know, from beginning to end and used it.
Right.
He's going along through something and then... In the middle of the line, he hits these notes that are the same and then continues on and it's something different.
Right. Unlike, let's say, Vanilla Ice.
Now that.
Who used Ice Ice Baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and literally used Under Pressure from the Queen song.
Under pressure.
You know. So, yeah, that's...
Camlin?
Sampling is different, you know. And so real quick, just to kind of refresh, let's look at the Blurred Lines thing with Marvin Gaye's Got to Give It Up.
Everybody get up.
So this is obviously the Blurred Lines. See, to me, right away, the cowbell's not even doing the same thing.
It's got the vibe is very similar.
The vibe is similar. The bass is hitting similar notes, but it's not the same.
Okay, now he was close. Tried to domesticate you, but you're an animal. Baby,
I'm hearing the bass a little more in this one.
And I'm listening to the melody right now.
You don't need no papers. That man is not your maker. And that's why I'm okay.
To me, the melody is totally, completely different. There's no merit there. There is no merit. You know, so that, when they lost that case, you know, then that told me that if you have a song and you've got the same vibe, you know, then you could get sued.
They're going to come after you.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, which is to me almost as ridiculous when Fogerty got sued by the record label for plagiarizing himself.
Oh, right. I remember us talking about that. Yeah.
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 And they go, well, it sounds like, well, it's the same freaking writer. Of course it's going to sound like him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, so now here is the whole thing now, the new thing with Ed Sheeran. And this is second time I think Ed's been gone to court regarding other songs that he's written.
Okay.
Okay. So now they're in trial and Ed had to, I think he just went up with his guitar yesterday or the other day and played the difference on the song. Now, the vibe, I will say, is very much identical.
Uh-huh.
But as far as everything else, to me, again, it has...
I just said, identical. Sorry, I just watched my cousin Benny the other day.
And gotta have the...
identical.
So good. All right, so here's Thinking Out Loud going on with Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On.
Stood before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet. Will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? Darling, I've been really trying.
Course, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, it's my first time hearing them back to back like that, and I wouldn't have made that connection personally.
Ruman, what's your take?
That's just, it's unbelievable. Like, they sound like, I would not even have thought that they would have sounded similar whatsoever. Like, Thinking Out Loud is definitely has a bit of a faster tempo to it, than I feel like, than Let's Get It On. So there's that difference there.
Okay.
Also, I can't tell if it's in a different key or not.
They are both in a different key. Now, this is where my theory gets screwed up. You know it a little bit better than I do.
All right.
Okay. So, Let's Get It On is in the key of E flat.
All right.
Ed Sheeran's song, what's it called again?
Thinking Out Loud
is in the key of D. So is that only a half step away?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, E flat D. Yeah, half step.
Okay, so half step away from each other overall because they're both it's E flat major and D major.
Mm.
Okay. So now the question is there any merit there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear it.
Yeah.
In the drums and the bass line.
Mm.
Okay. And there's a fellow, Rick Beato, who is a musical expert on this whole thing. And he kind of went through it a little bit. And he put them both in the same key.
Okay.
So that way we can switch back and forth from them. All right. And because he's been getting a lot of phone calls or whatever regarding as an expert. In this whole thing. So I'm going to play something from an updated thing that he did from his YouTube channel regarding the songs and how they sound. Because he did this 4 years ago when it first came up.
Mm.
Okay? And I think you'll then hear how they can blend together.
For you.
Baby, my
trying to hold back so long.
Heart could still feel less. Heart at 23.
And if you feel
okay,
like I feel,
definitely hearing it more now.
Yeah, true, true.
Okay, but what you're hearing is nothing more than the beat and the bass line. Not just the chords. The chords are completely different.
What I did between the two tracks is I took the Marvin Gaye track and I transposed it down a half step. So
now the question is it going to be based upon those two things that saying, oh, you can't do this or you can't copyright that?
Musically, I don't, because I don't know. Is there a finite amount of range that you can... Or is it infinite, like the range of that you can make?
Well, see, here's the thing, though. You only have 12 notes to work with in any key. But, you know, that's really it. Or you got 12 notes, period, that you can really work with overall.
Right.
You know. So now the question, I think the question I want to pose is, let's say, and I know Ed Sheeran's testimony already.
Mm-hmm.
He's already testified where the song has come from, how it got written, where the influence came from, and how they wrote it within that day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Did he ever say that the Marvin Gaye song was an influence at all?
Okay, I'll get back to that.
All right.
I'll answer that. So the thing is, though, is that if we're all influenced by our predecessors,
whether we know it or not.
Right. Sometimes we do know it.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, my hero, Richie Sambora, is influenced by Eric Clapton. Mm. He was also influenced by Stevie Ray Vaughan during part of his career. And there's a certain section. You can hear the influence, but Richie still has his own style.
Sure.
You know, but you can hear the influence. I mean, there's a song, matter of fact, Roman plays it, very well, by the way. A song that Bon Jovi does called Joey. And it's piano-based, basically. And when I first heard it, I could hear the influence of Billy Joel through David Bryan, who is the keyboard player for Bon Jovi. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or whatever, after the album came out or whatever, there was an article in Keyboard Magazine where David admitted about that yeah, he took the influence of Billy Joel and put it in this song. So I heard David's influence.
Yeah.
Okay. But can you compare it to any Billy Joel song? No. Not at all. Because it doesn't sound like anything. So now the question is, if it comes that close, are we now, as songwriters, are we now going to be sued because of our influences?
Yeah, I hope not, because I would hope an artist would go, would be flattered, or say, you know, if somebody created something inspired by, you know, our estate or Marvin Gaye, mm-hmm. I'd be honored. I'd be glad, you know, if they're blatant. I don't know. It doesn't feel blatant. I know that it's a blurred line. But with art, I mean, yeah, like Ed Sheeran's still a talent of his own, creating his own music. And there you go. I had heard this story. I think it was...
Improve employee and customer experience.
I think it was the Strokes had a song last night where they outright said, we were trying to write Tom Petty's American Girl. Mm-hmm. And Tom Petty, I don't know if he laughed or he just was amused by it and said, cool. And it was a big hit for the Strokes. I think I have that right story right. But I guess it just depends if the artists want to be litigious or not and sue over it. But these don't seem like blatant ripoffs to me.
No, same here.
Yeah.
Some of it to me, just quickly, sounds like this could be, could help clean up ambiguity in the laws.
Yeah.
That with so many songs being written now and so much music out there and, like you were talking about, you know, you have influences. Well, that's all those notes are in your mind. And, you know, you'll bring those up and think, oh, that's a good progression, not realizing it's something you've heard.
Right.
But there's ambiguity as far as, like, in this. Does it sound like it? Is it sound like it?
Yeah.
If somebody is actually copying a song, that's wrong.
Right.
If the notes somebody uses are just a few here and there that really aren't the whole song, then it seems like, how can you sue somebody? Because they just used a similar notes to you, but they didn't copy your song.
Right.
Right. But now, see, that's what I say. It's all based off of feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, because before, basically, it's like what you copyrighted. You, like I said earlier, you can't copyright chords, chord progressions. And it's been proven that there's so many other chord. You can use the same chord progressions or the same chords and have an amount of songs with those chords.
Yeah. There's going to be overlap. There's going to be similarities.
So now, let's say, for example, because they were influenced by them, could Brian Wilson go back and sue Paul McCartney for writing Back in the USSR and say, I want royalties because you did this in this section, even though I told you, hey, why don't you try this?
Mm-hmm.
But now I want writing credit.
And, yeah.
Because, look, listen to this.
I want royalties. That's Beach Boys.
Right.
That's Beach Boys. But they were like colleagues in a way, like you know, influencing
but
each
that's,
other.
And that's the point I'm saying is it before we never had those issues, you know, and now we're going to have those issues.
Yeah.
You know, and again, this is the second time that the Marvin Gaye estate, and mainly the co-writer of Let's Get It On, is going after Ed Sheeran on this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, I mean, like right now, I'm teaching some of my students 5 to 6 different songs that are using the same chords.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do they sound alike?
No, well, yes and no, yes because and they're the same, but it's the rhythmic pattern of them that's different. It's the melody that's different, but it's the way that they're being played that diversifies them.
Yeah.
But they're using the same exact chords.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, what's going to happen now? You know, could this group sue this group because they're using the same chords?
Yeah.
You know?
So there again, you can't.
go in and be good for every single note. That's impossible.
Yeah.
So if you put together a progression of notes and create a song, and somebody uses the same progression of notes and does a song that's the same, maybe they put different words to it, that should be something that is illegal. But if you're playing notes and they aren't an exact copy of a song or a progression, and some of it's similar and some of it isn't, and you didn't copy the song, that's what the laws are to protect you against, is copying and plagiarizing a song.
Yeah.
But if something's similar, that's impossible to judge. It's wrong.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. You know, it's... There's, because you can only use so many chords, so many ways, so many different times, whatever. Like, even Bret Michaels has talked about how one of the first songs he learned was Sweet Home Alabama. Okay? So, here, I'm going to see if I can pull this up. There you go. Get my guitar going here for you guys. Oh, it's a little loud. So if we do Sweet Home Alabama, it's three chords. It's a D chord, a C9, and a G. So what makes it unique is the way they're using the chords. Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you get that. So now during the whole song, you have that basic pattern. What makes that song unique is all the different fills that happen within the song itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's because Bret learned those chords that he did Every Rose Had the Thorn. It's the same chords, but he's using them
differently.
Differently. You know, it's completely different.
Yeah.
You know? I can also use those chords in Kenny Wayne Shepherd's Can't You See? Or not Can't You See?
Can't You See?
Marshall.
No. But Marshall Tucker is also Can't You See? You know.
That sounds more like Every Rose to me than Sweet Home.
But Kenny Wayne Shepherd's Blue on Black. That's what I was trying to finish the thing. So, and again, it's a different rhythmic pattern, but you're using the same chords. So where does it...
They got to quit trying to judge the gray area and come up with a more specific black and white.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know. Yeah.
And what's, right. So to answer your question, Roman, too, did Ed Sheeran talk about the influence? No. Where the song got written was his writing partner at the time, which is Amy something, whatever. She came up with the chord progression, which goes from a D chord to a D with an F sharp in the bass. And then I think a G to an A chord, basically, is what it is. So that's the chord progression. So that's why it sounds similar to Let's Get It On, because it's a similar progression where a lot of people have used it. It's going the one, the minor third, the four, and then the five. Okay? So, and what that refers to is the chords in the scale, basically. So... a lot of people have used those chords.
Yeah.
And it's been proven that many people. So Ed Sheeran told where the influence came from, which was he was thinking about his grandfather at the time. And that's where the influence came from for the lyrics and everything else and so forth.
Yeah.
It just so happened that he went with that rhythmic beat, you know, and the tempo or whatever to that sounded similar to Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. And it was just a true coincidence where he hadn't even thought about
Marvin Gaye's thing.
Yeah.
You know, but if you listen to it, yeah, they kind of sound. But again, if you look at the melody, you look at the notes in the melody,
yeah,
they are completely two different songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I don't think you can just take out one section of a song that you feel is similar and then claim that the whole thing is a ripoff.
Right.
When you, yeah, when you have the lyrics, you have the way they're sung, the way it's played within. There's too many variables happening in a song. Just like in a script, when somebody claims that their script was ripped off by somebody. Yeah. Somebody,
or go, hey, know. I got an idea. I got an idea for a film. How about if where this mother and daughter change bodies?
Right.
You know, how many times has that been used?
Right. A parent and a child switcheroo.
Switcheroo, right, or whatever, you know.
Or just some heist crime and criminals getting caught by a police. Like, that. There's just so many things that have been done, and they're retold in different ways.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, or sometimes they're rebooted.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
It's like, even with me, it's like there was one person who listened to one of my songs that I wrote that they said, oh, wow, I didn't know you were influenced by Bruce Springsteen. I didn't know I was influenced by Bruce Springsteen either.
Hmm.
I'm not, I mean, I respect Springsteen.
Right.
I think I have one of his albums, I think.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't listen to Springsteen often enough. And, you know, they thought that this song, the riff,
Glory Days?
That's what it was.
There was just a little something in there that was similar. Yep.
And that's what it was. And they thought, oh, you're influenced by Bruce. No.
Yeah.
I actually got that idea from Poison.
You know?
Because they have a song called Good Lovin', you know, which is, let's see.
Yeah.
So I took that blues riff, which is a typical blues riff.
Bluesy, yeah.
Is every blues singer now going to copyright, you know, sue each other for that?
Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I took that riff and did a little bit more of a shuffle to it, and then said, oh, what if I change it to now D? Because I'm going to be in the same key.
Mm.
And that's how I came up with the riff. But now I've got somebody else thinking, oh, Bruce Springsteen. I had no idea. I don't listen to Springsteen.
And, you know? And audiences are going to make connections and
in their own way.
Yeah, in their own way. That's on them. You know, that's not your intent.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So, anyway, so I just want to get your guys' take on the whole thing.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't continue. Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's our 3 cents.
There you go. There you go. So, yeah, but I want to get your take on Ramen too.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I honestly don't think that they are similar enough to warrant this again, specifically.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be crazy if it actually goes.
Well, I thought the blurred line one was just as ridiculous as this.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're dealing with it again against another artist. And if he loses, that's going to make songwriters in general very, very weary, mm-hmm, about, you know, do I need to call in a musicologist to find out, does this sound like anybody else or whatever? And,
right.
Which Ed Sheeran has done.
Mm.
Where a song has been released, or now they've called musicologists in to say, does it sound like this? Does it sound like that? And there's a couple of times where there was one song he did where it sounded like a TLC song. So before they even released it, they worked it out and said, we'll give you writing credit.
Wow.
Just so there's no arguments. Because he wanted to cover his ass because of the previous lawsuit that he had.
Yeah.
Dang.
You know, but it's like, where does it stop?
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's going to affect everything.
Yeah. I hope not.
Yeah. So, anyway, I want to get your guys' take on it. So, all right. Well, let's move on, guys. Speaking of guys, the other day, Forrest and I, we were in a meeting, and we were talking about other podcasts and things that we can do, you know, talking about influences, basically getting ideas from other people and so forth. And we came across this really, really interesting podcast simply called Three Guys Talking. And they had some interesting topics.
Yeah.
You know, in a couple of things that they were talking about and how they voiced their opinion of certain things. So, and so we wanted to play you guys a little bit of their podcast here. And we thought it was kind of ironic, you know, because they're talking about the difference between they're talking about relationships,
mm-hmm.
very basically, you know, mm-hmm. about love and lust and marriage and what the differences are. So let's see if we can go ahead and tune that in for you guys here. So let's see. All right, guys. Well, welcome to Three Guys Talking. And we're going to be talking about the difference between love, lust, and marriage. So, Dave, why don't you go first there?
Thanks, Randy. Love, when your eyes meet across a crowded room.
Lust, when your tongues meet across a crowded room.
Marriage, when your belt won't meet around your waist and you don't care.
That's very true.
Love, when intercourse is called making love.
Lust, all other times.
Marriage, what's intercourse?
True. Love, when you argue over how many children to have.
Lust, when you argue over who gets the wet spot.
Marriage, when you argue over money.
Love, when you share everything you own.
Lust, when you think twice about giving your partner bus money.
Marriage, when the bank owns everything.
Love, when it doesn't matter if you don't climax.
Lust, when the relationship is over if you don't climax.
Marriage, what the hell's a climax?
It's a rough one. Love, when you phone each other just to say hi.
Lust, when you phone each other just to organize sex.
Marriage, when you phone each other to find out the time your son's game starts.
Or choir rehearsal. Love, when you write poems about your partner.
Lust, when all you write is your phone number.
Marriage, when all you write are checks.
Love, when you show concern for your partner's feelings.
Lust, when you couldn't give a rip.
Marriage, when your only concern is what's on TV.
Love, when your farewell is, I love you, darling.
Lust, when your farewell is, so, same time next week.
Marriage, when your farewell is silent.
Love, when you are proud to be seen in public with your partner.
Lust, when you only ever seen each other in the bedroom.
Marriage, when you never see each other awake.
Love, when your heart flutters every time you see them.
Lust, when your groin twitches every time you see them.
Get that checked out.
Marriage, when your wallet empties every time you see them.
Love, when no one else matters.
Lust, when nobody else knows.
Marriage, when everybody else matters and you don't care who knows.
Wow. Love, when all the songs on the radio describe exactly how you feel.
Lust, when it's just the same mushy old crap.
Marriage, when you never listen to music.
Love, when breaking up is something you try not to think about.
Lust, when staying together is something you try not to think about.
Marriage, when just getting through the day is your only thought.
Love, when you're interested in everything your partner does.
Lust, when you're only interested in one thing.
Marriage, when you're not interested in what your partner does, and the one thing you're interested in is your golf score.
Well, guys, join us next week when we talk about the good and the bad and the ugly.
On Three Guys Talking.
Thanks for joining us. See you next week. Well, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It's a different take.
Wow, yeah.
Are they in Lime City?
I think so. Yeah. I'm not too sure.
Okay. Competition.
That's cool that you could.
Yeah, I'll have to ask Mike.
Like break in like that and listen to it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. You know what? Should we play the game?
Let's play the game.
Let's play the game. Steve, are you ready?
Ready.
Are you sure?
Sure.
You positive?
I'm positive.
All right. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for that eye-popping show that actually is the inspiration for the lesser-known Oreo cookie flavor, beef gravy. Quiz me.
Quiz you.
All right.
love those beef gravy Oreos.
Yeah, beef gravy.
Oh, savory.
I'm just glad Hydrox doesn't make
they
them.
They could be a little bit messy, but that, yeah. Oh, they're good. But
they squirt out when you take that bite.
They turn the milk into that gravy flavor. And of course, it all depends if you want the dark gravy or the white gravy.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, and you could have both kinds and a triple level cookie.
And then put that gravy on your mashed potatoes. And
ooh. This November.
It'll be like being in Cold Stones.
Just about.
You can mix Oreo different flavors into any food.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Christopher. Shaking his head. Poor intern Christopher.
Yeah, I have no idea what the heck you guys are doing here. Like, I go away to do some stuff for like 3 weeks, and I come back to this.
Yep. Oh, heck broke loose.
I missed this. All right, question number one.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, turn that up.
I want to be a producer.
Shut up. Running the board.
All right. The term pinch hitter comes from which sport?
Steve. Sorry.
I heard Steve first.
Baseball.
It is baseball.
It's been very, very good to me.
I will give extra point if they can tell me what it means.
It means that a guy can bat both left-handed and right-handed.
No.
Forrest for the bonus.
It's when somebody comes in for the starter to
for
take,
somebody
take
else.
Their at-bat.
Didn't you say switch hitter?
No,
pinch hitter.
Oh, I heard switch. Honest, I heard switch hitter.
Pinch hitter.
Oh, pinch hitter, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Substituting. It's basically a substitute batter.
Yeah.
So bonus half point for Forrest. All right. Maybe I'll come
in
later.
Funny
who knows?
Steve
got it right. He misheard it.
He misheard it and got it right.
All right, question two. All right. What bridge connects the New York boroughs of Bronx and Queens?
Sean. Brooklyn?
No.
Damn.
Oh, God.
I feel like you're always looking up this stuff, Steve. Like, you're.
Dang it.
Are you seeing the future of these questions or what?
No, he watched a movie on it.
Oh.
Yeah,
there's a movie about everything nowadays.
Steve. Queensboro Bridge.
No.
Nope.
I don't even have a guess.
That's because you're wearing a hat from Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, yeah. Yeah.
I just realized that right now, too.
Yeah. Well, it's the Whitestone Bridge.
Oh, the Whitestone. Okay.
Bridge. All right. Nobody got that one. That's sad. All right. Question number three. All right. What type of cat does not have Whoa.
Steve.
What kind of cat does not have a tail?
Yes, Steve.
Bobcat.
No.
Sean. One that got hit by a car.
No.
Oh.
It could be, though.
Mm. Yes, but no. But, like, they're actually, like, it's like a genetic defect that, like, they don't have a tail.
Oh, God.
Wow.
This is a tough one. This is a tough round.
Wow.
Only third question in. You think
I know.
This is hard?
This is difficult. I don't even have a guess.
Kind of.
Are you smart enough to an eighth grader?
Right? Wow. And only one species like has it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Forest.
I can't see it.
Forest.
Calico.
No. It's a Manx.
Minx?
Manx. M-A-N-X.
Manx.
Wow.
A Manx.
Manx.
Yeah.
Manx.
I never even heard of that.
Well, now you know.
Wow. All right.
Hey, at least you'll learn something when you get stuff wrong, you know?
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. All right, question number four. Who wrote Aretha Franklin's single, Respect?
Oh, God. I knew this.
But do you know it? That's the question.
it's a guy.
It's a guy.
It's a guy.
Yes.
Is it Ed Sheeran?
No, I think it was Marvin.
Steve.
Okay. Steve.
Bob Dylan.
No.
Darn. No. He wrote everybody else's.
Forrest.
Forrest.
Spectre.
No.
Okay.
I will say this: this singer-songwriter did die very young.
Oh.
It was I think he, if I remember correctly, 26 years old.
Oh.
If that helps at all.
Oh God.
It might jog his memory. Sean's really thinking here.
I am.
Forrest.
Forrest.
Buckley.
No.
No. No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Otis Redding.
Nah, that's right. Otis.
Otis.
Otis Redding. That's right.
All right. Question number five. What year did ABC's Wide World of Sports debut?
Sean.
Sean.
1972.
No.
That's my guess. Forrest.
Forrest.
75.
No. It was earlier.
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 Steve.
Steve.
Earlier than Sean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll go with 70.
No.
Ooh.
Sean.
Sean.
68.
No.
Forrest.
Forrest.
71.
Why'd you go back up?
Because you didn't say it was still down. So.
I mean, fair enough, but still down.
Okay.
Steve.
Steve.
69.
No, it's...
Sean.
Sean.
65.
No. Lower.
Forrest. Forrest. 64.
No, lower.
Oh, my Steve. God. Really? Wide World of Sports?
1962.
Yeah. Nope.
Sean. Almost there. Sean.
61?
Yeah.
There we go.
That early.
Wow.
Would not have thunk it.
I thought it was 70s.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe that's just when they changed jackets.
It just feels more. Yeah, the yellow jacket.
The yellow
yeah.
jackets. And whatever.
Howard.
Yeah. Cut out. That says Howard Costell. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Question number six.
God, we're only in question six. Jesus.
Yeah, I know. It's like, wow, you guys
struggle.
Suck.
It sucks to be.
Yeah, you guys don't got your shit together. Like, oh my gosh. All right. One half of the supply of raisins come from which state?
Sean.
Sean.
California.
That is correct. Finally got one. Woohoo. Yeah.
And Marvin Gaye's estate is suing them.
Yeah.
For hearing it through the grapevine. Sue him.
And wouldn't the raisins sue him?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good one.
They're going to sue the California raisins, too.
There you go.
All right, question number seven. How many acres is the biggest swimming pool in the world?
Oh, wow. How many acres?
Oh, my God. I was just looking at a picture of this thing.
Is this like in Saudi Arabia or something?
See, this is what I mean about seeing Steve can
I
see
don't
the future.
Do anything but just sit there and look at stuff on
Forrest,
YouTube.
Forrest.
Two.
No.
Oh, God, no. It's like...
Sean.
Sean.
How do you clean
seven.
That thing?
No.
It's like 220 or something.
Okay, no, it's not that big.
220
it's like
acres?
Huge. It, you
wait,
just...
what were you saying, Sean?
I don't know. What did I say? I'll have to listen to the show later.
It's a long time with that net thing. Just like
it is.
Swooping it up.
How do you get to the middle?
Right?
It is double digits.
Double digits.
Double digits. It's okay. Double digits. 85.
No. Damn.
60.
No, down.
Down? 52.
No. Decently lower, I should say now.
Okay.
You're going so small intervals.
12.
No. But now you're lower than it.
24.
No. Closest so far.
23.
No.
27.
So far. No. Steve still closest.
22.
No.
Dang it.
Steve?
24?
No. Closest, closest. Sean?
What'd you say?
You said 22.
I said 22.
So, 21?
No, Forrest.
20!
Yeah!
Ah, 20.
It's in Dubai.
I was
in
gonna
Dubai.
Say,
I think it's in Dubai.
Middle
yeah.
East, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Middle East. They got
20 acres of a pool?
They do crazy. They have a tennis court on top of a skyscraper.
Like, well, that I've seen in New York, too.
They also have the
stuff,
tallest
so.
Skyscraper like, in the world at like 800
just
meters.
Just to say that, yeah.
But still, 20 acres of a pool?
That's yeah.
Crazy. Wow.
Crazy.
20 acres. Do you realize how huge that is?
Yeah. That's why I thought one or two was crazy.
Yeah.
Golly.
And that's specifically why I included acres in the question, since I knew you were going to guess so
holy
low.
No.
Right?
Jeez-o. All right, next question.
Question eight.
How much of it is eight?
All right.
You pee on one end of the pool and drive your car around to the other. Nobody will ever know.
Well, National Superhero Day was, I think, yesterday or today. I can't remember. So who is the most popular superhero in the world?
Sean. Superman.
No.
Forrest. Batman.
No.
Steve.
He's second, though. Steve.
Subjective.
Spider-Man.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Spider-Man.
I was hoping it would be Supes, but no.
Well, question number 9.
There you go. Steve got that one.
And Steve's the lead.
He's read all about it already.
Yeah, no wonder he's looking at
it. He's reading about it now.
All right. Which country accounts for a third of the world's coal exports?
Coal.
Sean.
Brazil.
No.
Steve. Bolivia.
No.
Forrest. United States.
No. Wrong half of the world.
Sean.
Russia. No.
Russia.
The most cool.
Forrest, do you got one?
Forrest. China.
No. You're still in the wrong half of the world.
I just switched the half.
All right.
Well, yeah, but did you switch it both ways?
No. I'll go both ways now.
Ooh, he's going to go both ways.
Yeah. Steve, you got a guess?
Steve?
He's Googled it.
No, I'm...
All right, what's the answer?
I have no idea.
Google it. Put us
it's
out of
Australia.
Our mercy.
It's Australia.
Really? Australia? Yeah. Oh, it's a continent. Wow. And a country.
Yeah.
All in the same token.
Yeah.
Ah, well, we sucked at that one.
Yeah. All right, last one.
What
question
number?
Question number 10.
Finally!
All right. This is on the funny side. What did Albert Einstein call the most difficult thing to understand?
Sean.
Steve.
I'm going to go with
Sean on this.
Steve, go with Steve.
Okay, fine, Steve.
His Steve? Wife's honeydew list.
No.
He had a honeydew list?
Sean, do you want to follow him after that?
I don't know if I want to follow that. The spelling of his name.
No.
No.
Forrest, women.
No, it actually occurred with something I think it was... 2 weeks ago now, or just a week ago? It starts with a T.
Sean. Time travel.
No.
That happened a week ago?
Never know.
Okay.
Steve. Pterodactyl.
No.
For a tornado?
No.
Testicular cancer.
No. It's taxes. Income taxes.
Oh, taxes.
What was it?
Income taxes.
Taxes. Oh.
One, two, that question was taxing.
Taxed us.
Well, we hope you guys enjoyed today's show. And once again, if you can, donate for Road to Nationals for the Los Alamitos Drama Club there, basically. And, oh, that's pretty.
There's part of it.
That's part of it. Holy cow. Looks like more like a beach than a pool. So, again, you can go on GoFundMe.com and just type in Road to Nationals. Or you can go to our own website, Your Weekly Dose. I'm sorry, not our website, but our Facebook page. And it's pinned there at the top. Road to Nationals and donate. And again, thank you to listener Brad Jackson.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. Brad, you know what? Because you listened to the show and you're the first person from the show to donate, we sent you an email thanking you. Respond to that email with your address and we're going to send you out something specially nice for you, okay? As a thank you for that. All right, guys. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1.
At Hartle Theater, if you want to check out what's going on with me and my projects.
Enough. Okay, great. Thanks, Steve. Good job, Steve. Yeah. I love it. And Steve, thank you again, actually, for coming in, buddy. We always appreciate
it.
It's
a lot of fun. You're welcome.
As always, brother. All righty, guys. Don't forget, you can also listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings, and also Lime City Radio in our favorite place, Indiana, because we are coming to you. And, of course, Lime City plays our shows at noon, Wednesday through Friday. So
I like to drink a little vodka with the Lime City Radio.
Me too. I like adding a little Lime City Radio to my rum and coke.
I put Lime City in the coconut.
Do you
Shake it all up.
All righty, guys. And once again, if you guys enjoyed the show, please tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell them all about us, because we can't grow without you.
But you guys are my friends, so I have no one to tell.
Oh, man. Well, all right. Anyway, guys, be good to each other. We'll catch you next week. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.